Okay, this morning, thank you, Michael, again, as a brother in Christ, always, and not only Michael, every one of you, but the reason I mentioned Michael's name, last 22 years in this church, I thank God for his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his faithfulness. And I call Michael and I express my desire. Immediately Michael said, Alex, go for it. So thank you. But again, it is God. So today I'm going to share the story. And it is not my story. It is God's story. It is God's goodness, the grace of God, and his faithfulness. And also your story. And then it is my and Jyoti's story. Now I chose Psalm 50, but I'm not going to preach on whole Psalm, but only on verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. First part of Psalm 50, verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Throughout scripture encourages us to thank or offer our thanksgiving. Even in New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we glorify God. And throughout the scripture teaches or central message of scripture is to glorify him. God created us to glorify him. Second reference also in Colossians the same. NIV translate 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for glory of God. So this is so important. Even we go through many challenges, sickness, trials, persecution, but we need to remember one thing. Everything is for God's glory. Paul gave us wonderful theology in Romans. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, all theology. Doctrine of election, doctrine of justification, every doctrine actually Paul included in Romans. But end of the chapter 11, then he finishes before he actually wrote other chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 about Christian living, Christian life. The last verse he says, for him, through him, and for him. So everything is for his glory. Now Psalms 50, I just want to give you some context of Psalm 50. Now this is written by Asaph. Asaph presents a heavenly courtroom drama. God, the awesome judge, calls his witness and defendant and takes his seat. He levels two felony charges against the defendants. They have fallen into religious ritualism rather than worshiping God from the heart, and some of them are openly rebellious, religious hypocrites. They still follow the religious rituals, but they lived in flagrant disobedience. The Psalms ends by calling on both groups to turn to God and worship him from the heart. The setting of this Psalm actually is not Mount Sinai, but rather Zion or Jerusalem. But what we see in these Psalms, when God appears, verse 3 says, fire devours before him and it is very tempestuous around him, reminding us of the Mount Sinai. In verse 6, the phrase, the heavens declare his righteousness, also reflects the thunder and lightning imagery of Mount Sinai. The first section of the psalm deals with the first table of the Ten Commandments. How we should worship God. The second section deals with the second table of the law, especially citing the seventh, eighth, and ninth commandments against adultery, theft, lie. And then the beginning of the tenth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God. And Psalms 50, verse 7 says, I am God your God. Psalm also uses the name of God, particularly four names. The first one is the Mighty One, El, then God, Elohim, and then the Lord, Yahweh, in verse 1. The word Elohim, God, is the generic term for the deity and preferred name in Psalter, while Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, is God's covenant name, reaffirmed to Israel in Exodus chapter 3. Two other names of God also appear in this psalm, Elohim, most high, God the most high, verse 14. And then verse 22 also tells us about God's name, Elohei, E-L-O-H-E. H, which is a poetic name for El and Elohim. Now, what we see in this psalm, that the meaning of the sacrifice, because we know the history of Israel, like they were offering different kind of offerings which God actually asked them in the laws. So nothing wrong, but they did not understand that the meaning of sacrifice is found not in God's need for food, but in his desire to offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, having right relationship with him and offering of with the right attitude and acceptance and acknowledgement of God with thanksgiving. And that was something missing in Israel. John Piper provides a helpful definition. Glorifying means feeling and thinking and acting in ways that reflect his greatness, that make much of God, that give evidence of the supreme greatness of all his attributes and all satisfying beauty of his manifold perfection. I can't make God beautiful because I can point out his beauty, and doing so is glorifying him. I glorify God by making much of his greatness. I give him all the credit. I point out to those around me the majesty of God. So reflecting his character, witnessing his goodness, we glorify God. And that's why it's very important when we thank God for the blessing or other things, we need to understand what is our attitude. Even when we go through the sickness, are we really complaining about the sickness? Grumbling? Not having what Michael explained, that in this country we have everything. And that's why, very honestly, after, like, because of COVID, I was not able to go to the mission field. But one of the things I'm putting in my life, forcing myself to go on a mission field, particularly in African country or India or some country like that. And come back, recharge. Because very honestly, in this country, I have everything. And sometimes this situation or the blessing actually put me in the scene of complacency which Lamb prayed, and I thank God. Put me in a comfortable Christianity. Sometimes I think I'm doing everything. And also tend to be prideful. And many times I confess, I said, God, I'm sorry. But when I go and enjoy the time with my brother Isaac and even India, And I must say I enjoy living in one room with Michael in Thailand and Ethiopia. Yes. And when we met the people you saw in that photo, I must say we were dancing. We were dancing. I'm not criticizing or judging anyone, but I must say, sometimes I don't see what we have experienced, I don't see here what we experience, that joy, shouting, glorifying God. Now, we know the history of Israel, and if most of you have read the book of Leviticus, Leviticus actually gives us type of sacrifices, the burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, right? The sacrifice of thanksgiving or thank offering falls into the category of peace offerings. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. Now, mostly or every Jews or Hebrews, they understood that God would only accept sacrifices that satisfied his condition. Thanksgiving was central to worship in the Old Testament, just as it is in the New Testament in the church. The Apostle Paul tells believers that it is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus to be thankful in every situation. Whether it's sickness, whether it's difficult time, lack of money, lack of food, lack of shelter, lack of job, many things. And sometimes I think I struggle also, and that's why I wanted to share the testimony of God's goodness, God's glory, and God's faithfulness. And we are going to look 3 A. A, A, and A. The first A is attitude. Attitude is very, very important in our life. We know the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Now, a New Living Translation, particularly from verse Genesis chapter 4 from verse 2. It says, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Listen carefully. New Living Translation. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Both have offered. But the problem was attitude. Last year in April, I have received a phone call from Dr. Felix Sim. And the first sentence came from his mouth, Alex, I have a good news and a bad news. What do you want me to tell you? I said, bad news. And he said, unfortunately, you have a cancer. And I said, it's not unfortunate. And he paused because he was not able to understand. It's not me, but that time God immediately gave me that this sickness is for my glory. I struggle. I'm a human. I'm a weak person. And then he told me the good news also, that this is just the beginning. So what I show in that, actually talking to doctor, that God did allow this cancer, but God did provide grace because cancer hasn't spread. And I said, God, thank you. Then that day I was reading the word of God and this verse came to me, he who offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. The first thing I said, God, let your name be glorified through this sickness. Then I told Jyoti, and one thing I must say, I confess this morning in front of all of you, she loves me so much. She loves me so much. She cried whole day that day. And she said, Alex, I can't imagine life without you. And I was really devastated one way. And I said, God, one way you are saying that this is for your glory and what I'm facing now. And then it's a battle. Then we had a men fellowship. So came to the men fellowship and said about the sickness with my brothers in the men fellowship. And God put on our Michael hearts, and God, and Michael said, Alex, do you mind if we pray for you tomorrow? Surrounded, right? All the elders. And I said, no problem. And that day again, God actually poured out his grace. All the elders around here, I never forget that day. Never in my life. And I saw actually God's faithfulness and grace through my brothers and through all of you. And I like to mention one name, but it does not mean other elders are less important for me. Every one of you is so close to my heart. Every one of you. But one elder stood next to me, and it was not by an accident. Because he was not going to stand next to me. But other elder actually gave him a place to stand next to me. This is not by chance or accident. And he stood next to me and hold my heart so tightly, very honestly, so tight means telling me in a body language, we will not let you go. We will fight. Neville Langford. And something was going through my body that day, which I had experienced. I and Jyoti went home, and Jyoti was full of joy. All sadness gone, everything gone. God gave us the right attitude. I'm not saying we had right attitude. Abel, even though his brother killed him, sometimes we see, oh, that's injustice. I agree. Murder. Why God didn't punish Cain? God did. But when we actually read the Hebrew, right, the book of Hebrew, we see Abel there speaking his blood. Sometimes God allows in our life many trials. And I was scared. The reason I was scared because cancer was actually under my jawbone. Under the teeth, sorry, about the jawbone, but under the teeth. And they were really concerned that if has been spread in jaw, in my neck, I would have a big surgery, lot of plastic surgery, many surgery. And one of the, very honestly, throughout all this, I was scared that I won't be able to share the word of God. I was not really concerned my life or anything. And I cried. I cried a lot. And I said, God, are you going to shut my mouth? And I was fighting. But then God gave me again the attitude and I need to thank God. Because God used me for many, many years to share his word. And Jyoti knows, and many my brothers and sisters know me, that I love two things. One, preaching and teaching the word of God. It just gives me so much joy. There is nothing actually gives me joy like this. So attitude is very, very important. Even when we receive blessing, what is our attitude? Because of the prosperity gospel in right now, last 40, 50 years, people want to receive the blessing and then they bring the offering. But behind their offering, their attitude is like Hindus. that God, give me more. Bless me, so I'll bless you. God doesn't need our blessing because He's the giver. Right attitude is very, very important. Second, when we offer to God anything, right? Our money, wealth, time, anything. It's very important. The second is acceptance. Acceptance. And many people today actually finding hard to accept the situation in their life. I heard many people, why me? I haven't done anything wrong. I help people. I cared for people. I have provided food. I gave every month my tithe, right? Many things, and many, I'm not against, please forgive me, I'm not judging or great, but I want to really challenge. We are living in a time, and the more time will, it's coming soon, even in this country, that we will be few, surrounded by many enemies. But if we don't accept that, we would struggle. We need to accept. What we need to accept? Let's see what Job actually done. Because that's something also God taught me. Now, you know the story of Job, right? Job chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 20. Now, Job had everything. The book of Job actually start with his wealth. A person is a blameless person, well-known, and had everything. Family, wealth, servants, house, everything. And then suddenly what happened? He lost one by one everything. Now, listen. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Accepted he. He did not complain. He did not grumble. But he accepted everything from God. Calamity. Right? Everything he lost. And then in chapter 2, again, we know verse 7, chapter 2 from verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Whole body. And he took a piece of a broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. If you try to imagine Job's situation now, losing everything, and now Satan actually inflicted him, and he was now in a pain, right? Because of this sickness. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? God's God, and I. His better half also telling him, you don't have any hope. Forget everything and die better. Right? Because she didn't want to see. And what Job says? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women and would speak, shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this Job did not sin with his lips. He accepted from good and bad, both from God. As a believer, it's very, very important. First, right attitude. Second, accept everything God from God. Sometimes what happens in churches also, because people see God as a blessing giver, and God does, I'm not denying that, God bless us. But they don't see actually that God also brings calamities. In Isaiah, God says, I'm the Lord, God who brings calamity. God brings everything for his purpose. Right now, what is happening in the world, nothing is out of God's control. We may not understand, we may not be able to see properly, but God is working, restoring everything. We are in the time, it's called restoration. First creation, then fall happened, and then history actually, God is redeeming his people and restoring everything. So as a Christian, we need to look forward with the hope of restoration. That even though you and I go through this, right, many challenges, right? Some news comes, suddenly you go for a blood test and doctor said there is something really wrong. They do further tests and maybe doctor would conclude that, sorry, but you have such and such sickness. You may have only maybe 1 year, 2 year, 4 year, 5 year. That's not really important. But when you hear that news, are you ready to accept? Are you going, will you be able to offer the offer of thanksgiving, sacrifice, and said, God, I'm not going to follow my own desire, my situation in my life, my family, but I'm going to accept and thanking you. Because even I live one day, after that I'll be in heaven with you, enjoying that eternal life, no sickness, no pain, no tears. And God gave us that actually after that. And I, very honestly, I started doing preparation. And I explained to Jyoti, Jyoti, by chance, if God take me away, these are the things, right? We'll meet in heaven. And I told her. In somewhat way, I was so happy. And I was joking with my brother, Neville, Neville, you are 99, but I'm going ahead of you. And he used to always laugh. He said, no. Now, acceptance is very important. The third thing is very also acknowledgement. Attitude, acceptance, and acknowledgement. Let's look from Daniel chapter 6. Now, you know the story of Daniel when Daniel had to go to lion's den, right? You know that story. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter or anything. But what happened that time, actually, Daniel's enemy actually plan a kind of trap for him. And what they did actually Daniel chapter 6 from verse 6. Then this high official and satrap came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the council and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So that was a decree. Now, interesting thing in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Nothing was affected Daniel. He knew that he had to go in lion's den. He might die. But what we see, the author is telling us, there was nothing actually changed in Daniel because of the situation, what he was going to face. He was exactly the same what he was doing previously. Three times he kneeled down. And then thank God. Why he was able to do? Because he acknowledged the sovereignty of God. That my enemies, they are not sovereign. King is not sovereign, but my God is sovereign. And when I and Jyoti had to go to different like a session with doctor, and one stage I must say when I went for PET scan, CT scan, so many blood tests, right, and number of times. And then we went to Royal Melbourne Hospital, and Dr. Andrew, no, he's not here today. Andrew also was actually there. So panel of doctor came one by one in that room and started checking, da-da-da-da-da, discussing. And then all the team came, and it was like a scary scene. Some, and they did not have actually unity. One group saying, no, we just actually do like a surgery, remove some teeth and scrape the jawbone. The other part is saying, no, we remove the whole jawbone, restructure it. And I was just sitting here and fearful. Very honestly, I confess. It does not mean that when we go through certain kind of this situation in our life that we should not have fear. No, Bible doesn't tell us that. But what Bible tells us 365 times, do not fear, because I am with you. So what we need to do, we need to acknowledge that God is sovereign over this doctor. God is watching. Psalms 33 said God sees from heaven and sees everyone on this earth. And that day I started praying and I said, God, you see everything. And I pray that you would guide. And Jyoti said, let's pray. And we prayed together that you would make the decision, not this doctor. And ultimately, thank God, they made a good decision. Remove 4 teeth, scratch jawbone, and then 19th of May, and that's why I just requested Michael that I like to share this testimony, because it's God's story, it's your story, and it's my and Jyoti's story. 19th of May, I was in hospital, operated, next day, came home in the evening, right? And for few days, the whole part was swollen, was not able to eat, was not able to open my mouth even with straw. And Jyoti actually took for almost more than 4 or 5 months leave. And she was looking after me, preparing some soup and something, and little like a child. Even that time, and I was not able to speak even. And during that time, it was a struggle, challenge, whether I would be able to speak and eat. But again and again, again and again, God was teaching me that I need to change my attitude. I should not be actually looking at myself, but thanking Him for this situation. Because God separated me from the world and my routine, because God wanted to teach me something which I never would learn. Never. I must say that. God started doing the very deep work that from that time, after that surgery, even before. And showing me many areas in my life which I need to repent. There was pride, there was anger, there was bitterness, there was jealousy, many things. And I started repenting and said, God, thank you. Second thing, God asked me to accept this. Every day Endone, right? Painkiller. And Endone has a side effect, right? I think Claire can tell us. Yeah. So I was actually having that side effect also, and in the morning, terrible. Crying in the bathroom and said, God, how long should I bear that? And then the words came from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. And I must say, God was strengthening me. For a few months it was difficult. Then I was so happy. And then in August, actually, I and Jyoti both stuck with the corona, COVID. And I went to see the doctor, and doctor thought that cancer came back. And I was terrified. I must say, I confess. But again, the same lesson God said to me. Your attitude. You need to accept this. And acknowledge me that I am the sovereign God. Again and again repenting, and ultimately went through the needle biopsy, other biopsy, again PET scan and CT scan. And my vein is very thin. So now if I need to go to blood test, I'm scared. Because hardly they find, and this, I then take from blood from here. And it's so painful. So, but I had to go. But I must say that God was teaching, equipping me. And what I saw other blessing actually during this journey also, when I have actually accepted this situation and acknowledge him with the right attitude, I was able to see his grace. I was able to see his goodness. And I was able to actually experience his faithfulness in this journey. And God raised all of you that time. All of you were praying faithfully. And not just here, but in India, in New Zealand, other parts of the world. So what I see, actually, God allowed this sickness, but God wanted his story, right, that people should know. It's not my story. But God gave me the privilege, right, to go through this. It was his blessing. I must say, after this surgery, God has blessed me and Jyoti as a husband and wife. God did wonderful work in our life, in family. So I would encourage that when we go through any kind of situation, the first thing what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the memory verse, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God. It is the will. Will means God, not just a desire, but one way I would put the word decree, that God commanded us to give thanks. Even I and you don't feel, and I know. I did not feel to give him thanks. I complain even. I grumble. And I said, God, I never had tobacco, never smoke in my life. Because the first thing doctor asked, do you smoke? I said, never in life. And then he said, okay, interesting. Then, do you drink? I said, no. And then they were not able to understand. But it is God's will that I should go through it. But when I go through it, actually, God's name needs to be glorified. And he did. His name was glorified, many people witnessed, many people strengthened, many people saw the goodness, the grace, and the faithfulness of God. So my challenge this morning for all of you and for me also, that in all situations we need to thank God. John Murray, he comments for Romans chapter 4, verse 20, and Romans chapter 4, verse 20 is, no unbelief sorry, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. This is regarding Abraham. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to also to perform. Or coordinate and describe the exercise or states of mind which were involved in Abraham's faith. To give glory to God is to reckon God to be what he is and is to rely upon his power and faithfulness. C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, thinking yourself less. The more we see the glory of God, the less we take glory for ourselves, because we realize none can compare with him. There is no reason to look at me when such a great God exists. If I own a mop and a Corvette, I'm not going to spend much time showing off the mop to visitors. As we bask in the glory of God, we will realize how far we fall short and direct all the glory to him. This is God's story. This is your story. And my angel of this story. Bless you.